In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, why was this account written? Why is this story told? We should ask that about everything in the Gospels. There are many things Jesus did. The books in the world couldn't contain them all. Only a few things were put into the Gospels. Why this? Well, frame your story. It illustrates, such as with involving Jesus and miracles and such, it's involving dogmas, teaching us dogmas about Jesus Christ that are very clearly taught by this story. Always in the Gospel, there's instruction in how to live. See how the people reacted to the Lord. And we should see how we should live. Sometimes, of course, in some stories, you see how not to live. Remember, place yourself in this event. How would you have reacted? How should you react? And I tell you, these events also are not just historical occurrences that are ended. Especially this story, but really all of the miracles of Jesus and all of his parables are ongoing. As it were, incomplete stories. And another reason for this story and for other miracles and the parables and such is that there's a deep theological teaching that's present in the way things are presented, in the way things are mentioned. And sometimes this theological teaching is just so incomparably beautiful that it stimulates the soul. So the exegesis of any part of Scripture can really enlighten us. But there's always a practical thing in the Gospels, especially the Sunday Gospels. And there's one other thing that this story, I believe, is written for. And those who know me would guess what I'm going to say. This story sets us up for the next time that they caught fish, 153, and the differences between when they caught fish the first time and when they caught fish the second time illustrate the changes that can occur in the Christian life. One of the most beautiful illustrations of how the Lord Jesus Christ changes us, how we become perfected in the living of this life. We become perfected by many, many imperfect actions. There's kind of, in my opinion, three kinds of sermons. There's a sermon where the story is kind of retold, usually with some jokes and with some sort of laughter. I've seen those kinds of things. And it's entertaining, but there's not really a point. You can read the Scripture yourself. The Scripture must be interpreted. The Scripture must be applied. Just retelling the story is not a sermon, not a good one. And then also, I think what I try to do most of the time is apply the Scripture practically to where we are and who we are and who we are not. Take some aspect of the story that really cuts to the marrow and teaches us something practical. And then also, an exegesis of the text is in order sometimes if there's really deep theological shades of meaning. In that case, then that exegesis really must serve as its own scripture to enlighten us, each in his own way. But I think the best on a Sunday morning is to make some practical application of this scripture. What is the most amazing thing that happened in this story? It was not that fish were caught after they fished all night and caught nothing. And then they were trying to catch fish in the middle of the day when the fish would not be where they would be hunting for them. It was a bad time to catch fish. Nobody caught fish in the middle of the day with the technology they had and the conditions that they had. Everybody fished at night. That's not the great story here. Our Lord could make a fish have a coin in its mouth, could raise the dead. We know that our Lord, Jesus Christ, could perform miracles. The outstanding, the amazing part of the story, the one that made the angels look with awe, was that after they caught the fish, and after they struggled to bring it to land, they left everything and they followed Him. That doesn't make a lot of sense. They're fishermen, and they caught a lot of fish, and they left everything and followed Him. There were three things that happened that must happen to all of us all the time. First, they heard the Lord's command. Peter heard it. He was a little confused by it, but he heard because he was listening and he obeyed. All right, that's the start. But then when the fish were caught, Peter saw, along with the other apostles, this was more than fish being caught. This was the God-man revealing Himself. This was something cataclysmic. This was something life-changing. It was just not coincidence or luck or even just a miracle. This was the key to eternal life right before them. The key to eternal life in the boat with them. So we must see when God acts in our life. And then we must react. So we could say that we've perhaps done the first. We've accepted baptism. We say that we are Orthodox Christians. Do we see the things that God does in our life? I submit to you that there are fish being caught every day in every one of our lives. I don't think we see it. Not often enough. And when the fish are caught, we don't have the humble reaction of Peter to realize how sinful we are, and yet to have this great desire to be with Christ. So we don't react as the apostles reacted, by leaving everything and following. This is a paradigm for how we should live our life. The Lord says, let down your nets. We say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to let down the net. And you know, every time you follow the Lord's command, you will catch fish. Every single time. Without exception. The problem is, we don't see the fish that are caught. Because we're dull. We're blind. We might be able to obey the Lord, but we can't see the results. Now, in this case, there were so many fish, the net broke. It was an obvious thing. Most of the time, when the Lord works in our life, it is not obvious. And it doesn't feel like a lot of fish. But if we have eyes to see, ears to hear, we will understand that the Lord is working in our life when we let down our net. That is, obey Him. Although there's a deeper theological meaning to letting down the nets. Here I'm just saying, when the Lord says to do, we do. But in order for us to do what the Lord says to tell us to do, we have to hear Him. Most of the time we don't. I have a friend who says, it's very difficult to hear a conversation when there's a freight train running through your head. When the passions are coursing through us, we don't hear God. So that's one problem. Peter shows what a great soul he was. This is before he had faith. He was just a simple fisherman. and didn't know really who Jesus was, and yet he obeyed him because there was something in his soul that recognized him. He didn't know this. It wasn't a conscious thing. But the soul knew. And so he obeyed the Lord. But if Peter had not reacted after the fish were caught, he would not have become an apostle. It wasn't just to say, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Because that wouldn't have made him an apostle. An apostle is one who follows the Lord and learns from Him and then passes on that teaching. It was that he left everything to follow Him. This happens all the time with us. Every day, the Lord tells us things. The Holy Spirit in us speaks to us, tells us to hold our tongue, tells us to be humble, tells us to not be upset about something, to not worry about something. And let's say we hold our tongue. That is letting down the net. There will be fish from this. Or perhaps it will not be something that you expect. I used to work in an office. Sometimes if you hold your tongue, then others get credit for things that you did. And then it comes time for pay raise and people say, "Well, what have you done?" The worldly man would say, "I didn't get any fish from that." But the spiritual man says, "I've learned how to humble myself. I've learned to act like my Lord Jesus Christ. This has helped me." That's a great catch of fish. The Lord is speaking constantly to us. And we must hear Him and obey Him. But then we must see the results. And then we must react to the results. You know, just recently I was ill. Not real ill. You know, felt pretty bad for a day or two. And then, on basically Friday, I think it was, I felt better. I had a little more energy. A lot more energy, really. And the contrast was startling to me. How much better I felt. How much sweeter the air smelled. Just how much more alive I felt. It was a good feeling. I was aware of it. I think that our sickness, our sin, keeps us from feeling these sorts of things. Well, that's just a physical feeling that I noticed, that I was grateful for. But I think the saints see the greatness of God, the sweetness of God, the holiness of God, in a way we don't even understand, that we've never seen, because we're mired in sin. And that when we do follow the Lord, it's either begrudgingly or without understanding, and we don't see the result. My patron, Saint Seraphim, called everyone my joy. He saw Christ in every man. I don't. Should. For him, he always was hearing the Lord telling him the command to let down the nets. And he always was. And then he was always seeing the result. And then, what was his reaction? More love. More peace. And of course, look at how many people came to Christ and had fulfilled lives because of him. Now, the apostles left the fish, and many were fed from this catch. It was a boon to those people. When we leave all to follow Christ, people will be fed from us too. This should apply to everything we do. To listen, to see, to react. And this is why Peter is an apostle. And this is also why, when we don't do these things, we lead mediocre lives, why we get demoralized about things. I have to count myself first among us as far as being demoralized about things sometimes. That's because I don't see. I don't see right what's right in front of me. I don't have the capacity to see. Because of sin, because of passion, because of weakness. But the fact is that we can improve. Remember this other part of the story that I love so much. That the next time that they fished, they caught the fish and it didn't make their ship sink. And Peter was no longer afraid, but he swam to the Lord with vigor. So it will be with us. If every time the Lord says, let down your net, we hear it. And we do it. And we expect results because they always will be there. Every single time. And with practice, with God helping us, we will learn to see these results. To take great consolation in them. And to have them strengthen us so that we can act upon them. It's a continual process. 1 million, 10 million times in our life. We must do this continually. And then we will have a great catch of fish. May God help us to do this. This is the way we need to live our life. You see, this story is not just about catching fish. It's not just about that Jesus Christ is God and man and has control over the elements. Well, that's just the beginning. Save that for the kindergarten retelling of the Scriptures. This is about how you should live your life. Every moment, every second. And the results when you live in this way. That's what this story is about. And the greatest miracle of all is when a man's heart is changed. And here we see how we should change and how we will be changed if we just follow this way of life. May God help us to hear the Lord, to obey Him, to see what He does in our lives, and to act upon what we see. Amen.